This is Ethan Kruger for Effingham Radio News. Today I'm speaking to Pastor Jeremy Suey. Jeremy was actually at the Fort Lauderdale Airport when the shooting occurred last Friday. He made it out there, thank goodness, him and his wife. Jeremy, tell me about what happened.
Well, we had just gotten off of a cruise. Our cruise left Tuesday, and it came back on Friday, and we were flying out of Fort Lauderdale on Friday night, and our flight didn't leave till about 7 p.m., and so we had a lot of time to kill as we arrived back in Miami at 7 in the morning. So we actually had to wait to check in our bags because we were there so early, and there was a seating lounge near the bag check-in, and that's where we were. And we heard sirens, saw police cars driving by, and that persisted for about a half an hour. And I knew that something had happened, something out of the ordinary. And it was a few minutes later that people started to hear on through cell phones that there had been a shooting in the baggage area. And at that point, people weren't very alarmed. They actually made a public address over the airport that there had been a security situation, but everything was under control. And so we felt fairly secure at that point. And so I went to the flight monitor, which was just down the hall, to check on the status of our flight. And that was a few hundred feet away. And that's when there was a loud bang. Nobody knows exactly what it was, but people started running, started screaming. And a TSA agent that was near me yelled and told me to follow him. And so I just ran towards the concourse, the gate concourse, and ran down a gate and eventually ended up on the tarmac. While this was going on, my wife ran out of the front door in front of Terminal 1, which is where we were at. The shooting actually occurred in Terminal 2. But we did not know what was going on, and so we were separated from then until about 10 o'clock that night. And so I ran on the tarmac, and there were all kinds of rumors going around. People were saying that there were multiple shooters. People were saying that there were bombs. And I got one last call to my wife, and she answered for a few seconds before my phone died, and she said she was okay. But it was an ongoing situation, and so for several hours, I was using other people's cell phones to try to get a hold of her, and I eventually ended up in a parking lot of an office complex near the airport with several hundred other people, and my phone died. I had no money, and we were there for a couple hours, and then the police said we were free to go, and of course, the problem for me was I had no place to go. I had no way to get to my wife as she was still in the airport and it was completely sealed off. And so I made my way to a local park. The police said that there would probably be transportation there, that might be people there to help us. And it was probably about 2 miles. You kind of had to zigzag your way there because they had streets closed off for security. And when I got there, it was getting dark and I really didn't know what I was going to do. And I finally just approached a random stranger and asked if I could use his cell phone, and he was happy to do so. And come to find out, he was the assistant city manager of the city of Fort Lauderdale, which was a huge blessing because he knew a lot about the situation. He had a lot of resources, and he told me to get in his car, that we would figure this thing out together. And he was with me for about 5 hours, and I was able to charge my phone and stay in constant contact with my wife. And really, her experience was even more harrowing than mine because she was in front of the terminal and they had no idea what was going on. It was several hours before they knew that there was only one shooter, that there had not been a shooting in our terminal. And so she would move 3 or 4 times. Several times she barricaded herself with suitcases to protect herself. And so her experience was even more harrowing than mine. But finally, there was a good police presence around her, and they told her that they were going to bus everybody to the port, which is where crews take off from. And so we went there as well. And the name of the gentleman that helped me was Chris Lagerblum, and I really don't know what I would have done without his help. And he drove us out there, and eventually we were reunited about 10 p.m. And Chris was kind enough to use his contacts to get us a beautiful hotel room free of charge, which was really amazing because several thousand people spent the night at that port on cots and pillows provided by the Red Cross. And so we feel very blessed, and of course we're thinking about the victims who did not make it out of this alive, praying for them and their families.
Now, as a pastor, were you praying while everything was going on?
Absolutely. You know, when the initial scare happened, you're just in survival mode and you just start running. Once I made it on the tarmac, started to think about Danielle, and so I just prayed that the Lord would be with her, that whatever situation she was in, the Lord would protect her. And God answered that prayer by putting the right people around her who were able to help her. There was a gentleman from Brazil who was a doctor, and he really helped her, and they stayed together throughout the whole crisis. And I also had the chance to pray with some airport workers when we were in the parking lot, and so absolutely, I felt the presence of God with me the whole time, and I know that my church was praying as they were following on the news and through TV, and a lot of them were praying that the Lord would put angels around us, and I really feel like he did.
Now, at the time, were you able to contact any other relatives or just your wife?
Yes, I was able to contact my father, and actually, initially, after my phone died, you know, these days we dial people and not numbers, and so my mind froze, and I forgot my wife's number, and so I told my dad to text her number to the cell phone I was borrowing. And so, you know, it's things like that, you know, in retrospect, I'm going to memorize more numbers and not just dial names. But it was definitely an experience I'll never forget.
And certainly during that time, kind of that, you know, there was that long time period. Of course, you mentioned that you did get in contact with your wife for just a few minutes before that long separation. But during that whole time, how did that feel, not knowing that uncertainty?
That was the worst part of the whole experience, just knowing that she might be in danger and there was nothing I could do. That was torture. And so obviously that's a time when prayer is your only option. And so I just prayed and believed that God would protect her.
Now, having experienced this absolutely awful experience, has this at all changed or impacted your viewpoint on life?
Absolutely. You know, in retrospect, just to be more aware that there are people in the world who unfortunately do want to harm other people, and there's no place that you can go that you're not exempt. And looking back, I would have just stayed with my wife throughout the whole time. As soon as we heard that there was a shooting, now that I think about it, I wish I would have just got a taxi and found a restaurant or somewhere just to stay at until things had calmed down. But more importantly is to be aware, you know, to look around a room and see, okay, if something happened, where would we go? Because I think that's the reality that we live in this age of terrorism. And with, unfortunately, a lot of people, whether they're mentally unstable or whatever motives they have, we have to be aware.
Now, you don't have to answer this, but as, you know, we know the shooter immediately surrendered to police. Do you think you could ever find it in your heart to forgive him?
I think so. And that was a conversation my wife and I had. And as a Christian, I think that's what we're obligated to do, and hopefully God will do a work in his heart where he seeks forgiveness. But you know, that's the answer, I believe, to the world that we're in, is that what makes Christianity so great is it is a message of forgiveness, a message of grace. And so, yeah, I think as difficult as it is, we need to pray for the shooter and his family, that God would somehow heal them and he could come to a place where he recognizes the evil that he's done, and there's nobody beyond grace. So absolutely.
Jeremy, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story today. We greatly appreciate it. Once again, Jeremy Suwe, who was present at the Fort Lauderdale shootings. 5 were killed. About 8 others were injured. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Ethan. And I just want to say thank you to all the people in the community. Have neighbors reach out. And we're glad to be back home. And we really appreciate all the love and support we've received.
This has been Ethan Kruger for Effingham Radio News.